There it is. All right. Hey, it's good to be here this morning. Are y'all excited about being in the house of God this morning? Amen. I tell you what, it's my favorite place to be, especially when I read that tonight y'all are having some food brought in or some ice cream or something. Come on, that's good right there. I love that. And so, man, I love a church that worships together and a church that eats together. Amen. Amen. Hey, I love your pastor. Brother Billy is just, I mean, come on, he is fantastic. I've been here several times and heard him preach, and I'm just, man, honored to get asked occasionally to fill his pulpit. And so I know he'll be going somewhere else soon, but man, the quality of his pastorship here has been so very excellent. And I know he'll be a person for years and years to come that you all, myself included, will look back on and say, man, God, thank you for letting us have Brother Billy Dawson in here. And so grateful also for your staff. Brother Al Ray and I, God bless America, are Cardinals fans, which, you know, that's fantastic. That's good stuff. And Jonathan, of course, is family. So I got to like him, whether I like him or not. But I love him. I love him. He's fantastic. He's so good. And so, and you all are just a fantastic body. I love being here. And I tell you this every time, but it bears repeating because you just need to know that. It's just very true. I appreciate you. I appreciate your support of my ministry on Arkansas Tech campus. Yesterday was July 1st, which was 17 years that my bride and I have been together. We had our first date on July 1st, 2000. So praise God. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Amen. And it also marked June 30th was 30 months that we've been serving here. We started on January 1st of 2015. And in those 30 months, as God has given me opportunity to share the gospel and has seen fit to use a country Delta boy like me, I've seen 192 people in 30 months come to know Jesus as their Savior. And that is huge right there. And I'm sharing that by way of a report because you all are a part of that. You know, the Word of God says that how can they hear unless there's a preacher? How can the preacher go unless he's sent? And you all are a part of the salvation story of 192 precious souls. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much, not only for giving through the cooperative program so I can have a job, but even sacrificially supporting our ministry. And so God bless you for that. A few Sunday nights ago, I was with you. And how many of y'all were here for that? A few of y'all were here for that. So you heard a little bit about my pep all, and I don't know, because I've been here now several times, and when you come to a place several times, you begin to forget what you've told people. And so I do know I shared a little bit about my pep all last week, and I want to share a little bit again because it sets up our sermon this morning. But my pep all, you know, it's appropriate, you know, 4th of July weekend, I get to watching John Wayne movies. You know what I'm saying? And who likes John Wayne? Come on. Y'all are good Christian people right there. Hallelujah. All right. My pep-all was a man on this earth that I knew personally that most resembled John Wayne. My pep-all was larger than life. My pep-all and my childhood eyes could literally do anything. If it was broke, he could fix it. If it needed building, he could build it. He was a farmer, a dirt crop farmer over in eastern Arkansas. He wore overalls every day of his life. He walked my mama down the aisle in a pair of overalls. I'm not joking with you on that. And we buried him in a pair of overalls because he wouldn't have had it any other way. And so we were poor. We weren't technically sharecroppers, but we were the system that replaced it. I mean, we didn't have just a whole lot of anything. Had a tin roof on our house. I mean, my mama used to pump the water, you know, when mama was growing up, heat it up and bathe out in the yard, okay? And so to this day, my mamma has no air conditioning in her house. And so we had a big shade tree in the front yard and mason jars full of sweet tea. And that was our air conditioning. And I never knew any better or any different. Now, this is in the area where mosquitoes are the size of eagles, too. And so there you go. We was just always, and we were running through pastures and ditches and woods. And so we had chiggers and we had mosquitoes. I mean, it was a rough life, but it was a good life. And my pep-all man, he was always willing to rough and tumble with us boys. I had several cousins that lived on the farm. And we'd walk by. He had a recliner that sat right by the skinny hallway that went down to the bathroom. and he'd sit right there in his recliner, and you just knew you couldn't just casually walk by Pepaw. I don't care if he was watching the news or watching some sort of documentary on African wildlife or whatever it was. He knew you were coming down that hall, and he was just waiting, and he'd snatch you up, buddy. I mean, you'd be in the chair, and he'd be tickling you, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Just a great, great, fantastic man. I remember when I became an adolescent and kind of got a little bit of an attitude, and one time I kind of smarted off to my mother, his daughter, and I tell you what, he set me straight real quick. And but I loved my Pepaw, and I remember when I moved to Batesville several years ago, one morning I got a call, and they said my Pepaw had a heart attack, and they were rushing him to the Wynn Hospital. And when you live in small towns in the Delta, the hospital is not really much more than a place to die from, really. You don't have just a whole lot of great resources in the Delta and small towns. And so he didn't make it. And so I was the token preacher in the family, so they called on me to do his memorial service. And so this morning, I would like to share with you the message that I shared at my Pepaw's memorial service. And it's because it's not a sad occasion, it's a happy occasion, it's a good memory, because I got to share the hope that we have as Christians. So if you have your word, the word of God in front of you, you turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And when you find your place there, if you are able, only if you are able and willing, would you please stand up just to honor? I know we just got seated, but if you don't mind, just to honor the reading of God's word. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter. So again, if you're unable to stand, I understand that. But it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Father, thank you for your word, and we do pray this morning that this would be a source of encouragement to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You all can be seated. So, as I stood there at the gravesite, we didn't have a big fancy thing. This was, you got to remember, this was very, very country guy, I began to share this passage and to share from this passage. Now, a few of you have heard this already, but my Pepaw, being as country as he was, a farmer, not having a lot of money, I always remembered he would chew tobacco. It was wintergreen, and we had a spittoon in our living room, a big old pot that he'd just, I mean, there you go. So it always smelled like wintergreen in the house. We had an old wood-burning stove right there in the living room, and the platoon would sit right by that, so it was quite fragrant in the house. And my Pepaw drank the cheapest beer that you could find. I'm not glorifying that. I'm just painting a picture for you. My Pepaw would throw out certain four-letter words from time to time, he just was a country person. He never learned to read. I don't know if he even made it to junior high school before he quit to go to work, because that's what people did. And so as a result, when I was born again and when I was 13 years old, I had always put my Pepaw on a pedestal. And I began to see things about his life and wonder, does he know God? But when you have somebody in your life that is a Pepaw, the respect level there and the admiration level there, it is difficult for you as a teenager to broach that topic with him. So I never did. Even as I became a minister, I figured, well, he knows what I believe, and maybe one of these days we'll get around to talking to it. But to be real honest with you, I'm not proud of this, but I was a little nervous to talk about it with him. But I wanted to know that my pep all knew Jesus. And so one day, my mamaw, now she knew Jesus. My mamaw was she still is, a very strong believer, prayed all the time, studied the Word of God, very, very much a believer in Jesus Christ. And so mamaw and I love to have, even now, love to sit out on the front porch and just have conversations about the Word of God. And it's just, I just love it. By the way, mamaws and pepaws in the room, or mimis and pap-paps and, you know, maws and paws and whoever, God bless you. Thank you for the spiritual heritage that you have. You just don't know what a blessing you are to those of us who are coming after you. But I remember I was talking to my mamaw about spiritual things and my pepaw. Now this, again, this is a little bit of you've heard this before if you were here that Sunday night, but for all of us, my pepaw was in the kitchen and he looked in there into the living room where I was, mamaw and I talking about spiritual things, and he said, "Brad, I want you to know something." And of course I listened when he spoke. I said, "Yes, sir." I was a grown man, but I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Brad, your pepaw knows Jesus as his Savior." And I was floored. I'm talking 30 years plus of life, never had a conversation like that with my pepaw, and he broached the topic. "I want you to know, it is important for me that you know that I know Jesus as my Savior." And he said, "Now, Brad, I know I don't go to church." And I didn't know this, but it was because he couldn't read and he was embarrassed. He didn't want to get called on to read the Bible and have to tell people that he couldn't read. He said, "I know I don't go to church, but I walk in these hills back here." Speaking of Crowley's Ridge ended in our backyard. He said, "I walk on these hills and I talk to Jesus all the time." And I was floored. And the conversation went on and we went on to other things. And I said my goodbyes and I went back to Batesville. And that was the last time, about a week later, I got that phone call about my pepaw. That was the last time on this earth that I spoke to him. And I thank God I had that conversation with him. Because now I know. Now I know. And as I stood there at his memorial service, I kind of choked up this. Because even as a professional pastor who preaches memorial services all the time, when you're standing over the casket of the man that was larger than life and sharing a story like that, it just does things to you. There were many people at that memorial service that had never heard that story. They didn't know about my pepaw's faith. But I got to share, because what would I have shared? I could have told good stories. I could have shared good memories. But I got to share, because of that last conversation that I had with him, I got to share this passage of Scripture that says, "Brethren, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep," meaning those who have died, "so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." We grieve. I grieved. When I got the phone call, I took it. I began to work like I normally do, very professionally. When is it going to be? Helping my family make the arrangements. I was on autopilot. But there came a time after that that the grief hit me. And I remember just collapsing on the bed in my bedroom and just sobbing uncontrollably. That was my grief, because I had lost him. Now, I did not grieve like a person with no hope, because I knew that even though my pepaw couldn't earn it, he didn't earn heaven, which none of us, by the way, do, that the grace of God was real because he had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as we go through this passage of Scripture very briefly this morning, I want to set a few ground rules. First of all, this is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, or a portion of that. Now listen, there are all kinds of ideas about this, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. I will not be diving into those muddy waters. All right? To me, the main things are the plain things of Scripture. And so I'm not going to start a contentious thing here where we debate and I start naming dates, which, by the way, you really get in trouble when you start naming dates, don't you? Jesus himself said, no man knows the day nor the hour. And so some people say, well, it doesn't say the year, so you get a book. 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. Well, we've seen it over and over and over again. It never pans out, and it just makes us look silly. But we do know that if it is in Scripture, it's going to happen. Amen? So the things that we're talking about this morning, at some point in time, in some way, form, or fashion, very plainly, these things will happen. Or else, we might as well rip this page out of the Bible and forget about it, right? So let's just look at it very briefly again. Looking for encouragement, looking for things to celebrate. It goes on and it says that, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So 21 centuries of people have lived, trusted Jesus, died. And where are they? Well, we know where their bodies are, a lot of them. But where are they? They have fallen asleep in Jesus. It says in verse 15, for this we say to you by whose word? By the word of the Lord. How many of y'all know when the Lord says it, it's sure? Amen. That we who are alive and remain, who is that? That's us. Until the coming of the Lord, provided. Hey, which by the way, one thing I will say about my beliefs on this topic, I do live my life as if it were imminent. So much so that oftentimes I eat my dessert before I eat my main course. I mean, it's very practical, my theology on this. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, so these things will happen, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and then it gives us three things, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that will sound like. I cannot explain that to you. Some people may conjecture, but the truth is they haven't heard it either. I always did want to hide outside of the visiting evangelist's window, though, when he was sleeping at night, you know, about 12 a.m. That'd be fun right there. Leave some clothes laying out on the ground, you know, just for fun. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So those who have passed away, my Pepa, whose body we laid in the ground, he and all of his generation, all of those who have gone before, they will rise first. They are 6 feet under. They need a head start. So they're going to rise first. So the first thing, because I'm a preacher and I always see 3 points that begin with the same letter, is that there will be a resurrection. There will be a resurrection. Jesus was resurrected. He was very plainly dead on the cross. Very publicly, very plainly, he died. He did not faint and pass out and then they buried him. No, he was dead. It said they took a spear and shoved it in his side and blood and water both came out. We know today, they didn't know then, they just described what they saw, but we know today that there are certain medical conditions when you have extreme trauma where the blood and the water separate. There's no way that a fainted, very brutally beaten, it said that when he was on the cross, he was not recognizable as a man. There's no way that if he had simply fainted and they had buried his body, that he could have crawled out of there, beat up the Roman guard that was doing that, and then, you know, somehow got people to follow him and give their lives for him. No, they would have pitied him. They would have been afraid to get him medical help because they'd have been afraid that they'd have done the same to him. No, he was dead, and on the third day, praise God, he arose. The word in Greek means that he... basically, he stood back up. He didn't just sort of float or fly out of the grave. That tombstone, that it wasn't a tombstone, but that gravestone that they used to seal the door, it was removed. And it just wasn't rolled. It was removed. And Jesus walked out of that grave. Come on, y'all. Jesus walked out of the grave. Amen. Man, that's a shout and praise. I know we're Baptists. But our King is alive. Amen. And just like he was resurrected one day, my Papa and everybody that's died, 21 centuries of people who trusted in Jesus, they're going to resurrect. Man, that's good news. What did Jesus do when he was resurrected? Well, at one point it seemed as if he went through a wall or appeared or something, because they're in a closed door meeting and boom, there's Jesus. That's kind of cool. Bible says it will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. He ate, which I say, hallelujah. Can I get an amen? There will be a resurrection. The second thing, the Word of God goes on and it says, not only will the dead in Christ rise first, but verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So, if we're living on this earth when that happens, we're caught up. This is where, just to go with the 3 points that begin in the same letter, this is a rapture. There will be a rapture. Now, don't let it scare you. I'm not taking any positions on what that'll look like, when it's going to happen, none of those things. It's just the word rapturo comes from a Latin word. It comes from a Greek word, harpazo. So let's just say we'll be harpazoed. We'll be snatched up. We'll be caught out. It's like if my son's running towards the street and I don't want him to be in danger, I reach out and grab him and snatch him back. God will one day snatch us right through the ceiling. Say, seriously? Well, he's bringing your Papaw out of the grave. I mean, that's a bunch of dirt and the casket. He can take us through a ceiling, but we're going to be caught out. We see this in Scripture. Where do we see this concept in Scripture? How about Genesis? There was one gentleman that loved God so much, it says that he just wasn't anymore. He walked with God and then God took him. What does that mean? He didn't die. He was harpazoed. He was taken out to go and be with the Lord. We saw this when Elijah goes without dying up in a whirlwind, goes up, he is caught out. We see this, I think it was Paul who said, look, at one point in time, I'm not necessarily talking about myself, but yeah, I'm talking about myself, but I was caught up to the third heaven. It's the same concept, to be snatched away, to be caught up. And one day, if we are alive and remain, that will happen. We will be caught up to meet the Lord and all of those folks that we know in the air, and we will always be with the Lord. We will always be with the Lord. Man, that is good. You know, when I think about heaven, I don't think about streets of gold. I do wonder what the food's going to be like. Pray for me, y'all. I got issues, clearly. Biscuits and chocolate gravy. I'm making y'all hungry right now. Some good roast, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to see how hungry I can make you right now. Chick-fil-A that's not open on Sunday. Oh, man. That was just mean, preacher. Why in the world? But we will be with Jesus. That's what I know for sure. That my King, my Savior, the one who took me from death, he didn't have to do that. I didn't earn that. I didn't merit that. I didn't deserve his kindness and his favor and his love. I deserve every bit of hell. I don't know about you, though I do biblically know about you, but I can tell you I look at my life and I deserve hell. But because of the grace of God, it says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And one day, I'll get to see that same Christ. That now I talk to him, I don't see him, I can't look at him. I can't look upon his face. I just speak and I believe that he hears me and I talk to him. But one day, I will meet him in the air. Praise Jesus. That ought to make you smile this morning right there. And then the last thing I see, not only are the dead in Christ resurrected and we are caught up to meet them in the air, but it says, and so we shall be always with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. We will one day see a reunion with those that have gone on before us. My pepaw, we used to fish. We used to hunt turkey. Went to Batesville for turkey hunting and all kind of cool things. Went, ran trot lines out on the river. I mean, just great things. Driving down those gravel roads of eastern Arkansas. All the things I used to love to do with my pepaw. And he's not gone. We'll be reunited. My wife and I told you that we've been together 17 years. And man, what an adventure we've had in those 17 years. After we were married, we were told we wouldn't have kids. And y'all know this about us. But now we have Jeremiah, my 7-year-old, and he and I do those same things, man. We wrestle and I tickle him, and man, we roughhouse, and he's all boy, and I love it. Because in behind him, I've got little Eliza, my daughter, and I'm trying to learn how to be a daddy to a daughter because she's not quite even a year old yet. She will be on the 14th of this month. And then coming later this year is our third child, Naomi, is due December 2nd. And so I got two weddings to pay for. How about that? And God has blessed our socks off. But in the midst of all of that, we lost two children. And the pain that I know many of you have experienced of losing. Now, we by the grace of God, didn't have the child and then lose them, but we lost them before we had them in a miscarriage. But it is my belief that life begins at conception. It is my belief that I have two children, as David said, I can't bring him back, but one day I'll go see him. It is my belief that that reunion will include getting to meet two of my children that I've never laid eyes on. What a reunion that will be. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see those who have gone on before us. We're going to see those that, for some of us, we've never yet even seen. But man, that's something to celebrate. If you are here this morning and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, I encourage you, please, don't miss out on this reunion. Don't miss out on this resurrection. Don't miss out on this snatching up. We're almost out of time, so I'm going to pray and I'm going to go sit down. But let me just extend an invitation in this way. I'm going to hang out for a few minutes. Now I know after all that talking about food that I did, some of y'all going to hit that door pretty hard and pretty fast. And that's okay. You won't hurt my feelings. I understand that. I'd probably be the same way if I were you. But if you have someone in your family, you yourself, or a child that just needs to talk to someone about trusting in Jesus for salvation, I would love to hang around and just come see me and talk to me. Can we do that? Can we do that for an invitation for the sake of time? And I know y'all probably have some announcements or something at the end too. Is that how y'all do? Okay. Father, thank you. Thank you for these great words, just of encouragement, God. These are main things. These are plain things. This will happen. We don't know how it's going to happen. We're not going to even venture to guess when it's going to happen. But these events, at some point in our future, will take place. And God, we thank you for that because you promised, Jesus, you promised the believing disciples in the upper room that if you go to prepare a place for them and for us, that you will come again to receive us unto yourself, that where you are, there we may be also. And that is heaven. That is encouragement. Where you are, King Jesus, is where we want to be. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for this church, God, and all that they are doing to get the message of the gospel to those who have yet to hear it before it's too late. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.